Luke chapter 23. Gospel of Luke chapter 23, and you find that place. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Luke's Gospel chapter 23. You pray the Lord to help us this morning. We want to be mindful of the Lord. Luke chapter 23, and a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, and what I read out of it be even more familiar God, to everybody under the sound of my voice, no doubt. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to start reading in verse 39. Luke chapter 23, verse 39, the Lord is up on Calvary getting ready to die for my sins, and to die for me, and to die as me, and to die for you and as you, and to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. I say thank God for that. Amen. And if that's the only thing that I had to say this morning, would be just to stand and to thank God that He died for me and that He died as me, and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell, friend. That'd be more than sufficient. Amen. I say thank God I ain't going to hell. Amen. I praise the Lamb of God for what He done for my soul. Bible says this in verse 39. He said, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, saying, thou art in the same condemnation? He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto him, Jesus, said unto Jesus, Lord, he said, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I could say it like this, and what he told him was, there's a brighter day coming. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you, and God, we thank you for everything you've done. I'd ask you for a few minutes of time. Oh God, thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Father God, for the hope of a better tomorrow. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll stir, and God, help us tonight, Father, to be as serious as we can. I pray, God, help me not to say nothing dumb or foolish or out of the way, but only those things that bring honor to you. Oh Lord, I want to be what Josh said this morning in Sunday school. Oh Lord, I want to be that hammer that yielded over to the hand of a holy God. I pray, God, just help me to be a tool, a meat for the master's use. And Lord, we'll try to do the best we can with these old stammering lips of clay to bring glory and honor to your Son. Father, we love you and thank you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, thank God for it. You come to this passage of Scripture, and one of the most beloved in all the Bible, I guess, for my soul. I'd say this to you, there's many that no doubt, and this is the only time in your Bible that you'll find deathbed salvation. Yeah. Thank God, but listen to me. I believe he put it in there one time, Jesse, so that it wouldn't make no difference how close anybody was to dying, that they would know there's still hope. Hey, thank God, and it's not too late. And a call on the Lamb of God. But I'll tell you this, I think he only put it in there one time so that nobody would be presumptuous as to think that they would have that opportunity. Hey, listen, I thank God. I've been in a many a hospitals. My brother Kim been in a many a places and bowed down with folks that was nigh to death's door. I get a call on the Lamb of God and see God do it. But why would you want to wait that long? And when you're in the house of God and you get help while you're young, and get help in your middle age, and when your health's good and you can enjoy the relationship with God. Oh, listen, friend, what a day that we have where we're standing. I hope that everybody will hear and the Word of God this morning, and we find this thing. I'm still preaching on. Have some crowds I ain't a-going with. I ain't a-going with that crowd that's going against the Word of God. I ain't a-going with that crowd that's going against the will of God. And I ain't going with that crowd. Hey, listen, that's going against the way of God. Hey, listen, let me just stop and say thank God
thank God I ain't going to hell. Amen. I know maybe that don't do nothing for you, but it sure helps me. Amen. I'm glad I ain't on that path. The Bible said in Matthew 7:13, and when it talks about wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and what's that next term? It said, and many, amen, go in there. I thought about in Matthew 7:21 and Matthew 7:22, and when the Bible said that, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? He said, then I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, friend, at the great white throne judgment, and when death and the sea and hell deliver up, there'll be a mighty big crowd there that day. There'll be a mighty big crowd there that day. But I'll not be one of them. Amen. Oh, thank God. Listen, oh, what a blessing it is to know that you ain't got to be one of them either. Amen. If you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell over top of the blood of Christ, over the top of the church, over the top of folks pleading that you're not doing. Amen. Oh, God, help us today. I thought about this old thief. I've no doubt the whole life he had ran with the wrong crowd. He probably was the wrong crowd. He may have been the instigator in the wrong crowd. But before we judge him too harshly, Rodney, before we come down too hard, Joe, I'll tell you what I see in this thief. I see a picture of every last one of us in here this morning. I mean, listen, every last one of us. I'll tell you what that thief done. He done what the crowd does. He went against the command of God. And Exodus chapter 30, verse number 15, that's pretty plain. Hey, you don't have to have a college degree to understand it. Ain't got to go get, you ain't got to have to run to the next doctor and get him to explain the words. That said, thou shalt not steal. Amen. Oh, listen, the command was plain. And my friend, but in Matthew 27, and verse number 44, and the Bible said there they crucified two thieves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what he did. He went over the command of God. I know that may not mean much to you, but if you've ever broken God's word, oh, my friend, we're already with the wrong crowd. I thought about, listen, he went against the command of God, and then he went over top of the counsel of God. And the God said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 14, I think it is, he said, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. He said, pass not by it, and turn away from it. He said, depart from it, and pass away, and avoid it, thank God. In other words, listen, friend, he gave him counsel. He said, don't go that way. And that thief knew the word of God, and no doubt he went against God's command. He went against God's counsel. He even avoided and ignored the caution of God. One of the saddest verses in your Bible, at Proverbs 29, verse 1, it said, he at being often reproved, hey, listen, the hardeneth his neck, that shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. Oh, listen, there's a day he told him, he said, you keep going against what I've told you, friend, and you keep going against the word of God, I keep going against my caution, I keep going against my counsel, and you'll find there'll be a day he'll be destroyed without remedy. Amen. In other words, no more hope. Oh, listen, we find this fella, his whole life, he's been running with the wrong crowd. I thought about, nobody in here's ever broke the law of God, have you? I mean, nobody in here, ain't nobody in here ever, put another God before the Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't never put something before him. Ain't never worshiped an idol. Ain't never told a lie. Ain't never coveted somebody else's stuff. Oh, I'll tell you, we went against God's command. And thank God we find that this thief standing where he's standing and deserves the same fate that you and I deserve this morning. And yet we know the end of the story. And when you come to the thief, and Brother Adam, we already know how it ends. Amen. And that's what makes the thief story so good, is when we get to it. Everybody in here that's ever read your Bible, if you've been in church longer than 6 months, and you know how the story ends up for the old thief. But here's what I'm interested in. It's how to keep you out of the wrong crowd. How to keep you out of the wrong crowd. crowd. I'll tell you one of the great things. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I may preach a little and I may plead a little. You just pray for me. I'm a preacher, Savage, I'm telling you. And one of the things that keeps me up at night, I miss Irene, is the thing. How many folks have said inside Amazing Grace Baptist Church, I miss Irene, how many folks, how young and old alike, have passed through the doors of this church, have sat on the pews where they've sat at, and one day they'll hear the words, and depart from me, ye, and work iniquity. I never knew you. I thought, no doubt, how many folks have came in, how many folks have been close, how many folks have been under the sound of the gospel year after year after year, and yet they've never got born again. Oh, listen, friend, I'm telling you, I want you to hear me. Whether you get saved or not, I'm still saved. Amen. I mean, listen, whether you go in or not, it's going to be a day that God's going to come wipe away the tears from our eyes, and all former things are going to pass away. I'm going to enjoy heaven. I'm going to get to come down that new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. I'm going to tell you, friend, it grieves me to my heart. I don't think there's folks I've set eyes on and I've preached to and I've loved on and I've known. I can't bear the thought. I don't think there's somebody in hell and I might know. Amen. And yet that's a reality. Oh, I'm trying to keep you out of that crowd. I don't be in that crowd, friend. Let me give you just a few things. I'll not preach long. I'll just preach what the Lord give me. Oh, but I want you to watch this. I'll give you three things that happened in the old thief's life that kept him out of that crowd. Watch what your Bible says here. In the Word of God, the Word of God said in verse number 40, he said, but the other, speaking about that thief, the penitent thief as he's known, the Bible said, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Oh, I tell you, hey, listen, what'll keep you out of that crowd? It's the fear of an almighty God. Amen. Hey, you know what's missing in America? I'll tell you what's missing in America. It's missing in America because it's missing in our churches, amen. And not many folk interested in being afraid of God. And you say, how do you know? Can't live like you live. I can't live like the church is living today. And then talk about how they're afraid of God. And those two things don't go together. I'll tell you, friend, listen, if you'll ever get help, hey, listen, the fear of God, that's where it starts and that's where it ends, amen. In Proverbs 1:7, it said, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the book of Ecclesiastes 12 at verse number 13. He said, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. He said, to fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You've got the first and the last. And thank God, listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, in Matthew 10:28, he said, don't fear him. And listen, that's able to kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. He said, but fear him, rather, amen, how that can destroy both soul and body in hell, amen. Oh, listen, these folks talk all the time and they say, boy, I don't like that old fear mongering preaching. I'll tell you what, you better be afraid, amen. You better be afraid, thank God. And look here, friend, you'll not be dealing with Kevin Sexton. You'll not be dealing with Delmer Savage. When you lay eyes on God, you'll not be dealing as a man. You'll not be dealing with somebody with faults and failures. You'll not be dealing with somebody in flesh like you're in flesh. But the Bible says, thank God, on that day when they see him, I'll tell you, you don't ever see no pictures like this painted of Christ. But on that day when they see him, how that white hair that's flowing down. Hey, listen, friend, I'm talking about his hair be white. His eyes will be a flame of fire. And the Bible said his feet will be as brass. Hey, listen, friend, he's coming to judge the world. He's not coming to be Savior. He's not coming to be friend. He's coming to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On that day, friend, you better make sure you know him, amen. Oh, yes. Hey, so many folks standing where we're standing at today, and they've got no fear of God. I mean, they know, look here. They say, I talk to people all the time, and they'll say, I'm not afraid to die. And could I tell you this? I'm not impressed by that. Are you listening to me? How the kamikaze pilots that flew into Pearl Harbor, how they weren't afraid to die. How Muslims, Brother Kim, that hey, strap bombs to theirself and run up there. How they ain't afraid to die. It's not about being afraid to die. How, but my friend, I'll promise you this. How the last second they took on this earth, how when they woke up in hell, they was afraid then. You better believe it. They was the fear of God that came over their soul then. I'm not concerned. Hey, listen, you may say I don't fear on this side, and that may be true. How about you will fear on the other side? Amen. There's folks sitting and listen. It's not a game. Amen. This ain't Monopoly. This is not chance. This ain't sorry. This ain't something that, you just roll some dice and hope for the best. This ain't when you get there, you just hope it goes one way. Thank God. Thank God. How about I'm telling you, friend, and we ought to have a fear of God in our heart. It ought to be something that we understand. I know I'm saved. Washed in the blood. Made my calling and election sure in Christ Jesus. And yet, if God wanted to, listen, he could destroy my body in hell. He could destroy my soul in hell. He could destroy my spirit in hell. And he'd still be God. Amen. The only reason he don't is he's bound by his own word. Hey, listen, because he bound himself, I thank God for it. It started with the fear of God. I'll tell you what helped this thief. And the first thing he did was he saw God for who he is. And he said, we ought to be afraid. And let me just reiterate that. If God would even give us the smallest of glimpses, every person in this room would bow down and cower in fear before a thrice holy God. But I'll tell you what else he saw. I think in our day, nobody much fears God. But also in our day, nobody much sees themselves as sinners. Everybody else has got problems. But they're doing pretty good. But here's what he said. Watch your Bibles. Let me just read it to you. Here's what he said, verse 41. He said, we indeed justly. He said, we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I'll tell you what that old thief said. He said, I deserve everything again. I deserve the cross. And he said, if I die, he said, we deserve every last thing we get. And I'm telling you, friend, we deserve every last thing we get. Amen. Amen. Hey, if God were to kill us now, I'd cast a whole lot of us in hell. You know what the cry out of hell is, Miss Sheila? There's no person in hell saying, oh boy, I don't deserve this. There's not one person in hell saying, oh boy, this ain't fair. Everybody in hell, when they're in the presence of a holy God, Brother Savage, have they ever last one? No. Have they deserve what's coming their way? And me and you do too. And the only reason I ain't getting it, thank God, is because of the grace of God and through my Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ. And the only claim I have to boast, it's not in any good thing that I've done, but in every good thing he done. Amen. I say, thank God. I'm glad, friend, and that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yes. I changed crowds one day. You remember when you was going with the wrong crowd? Amen. I changed crowds one day. Amen. I'll tell you, he saw God for who he was. He saw himself for who he was. And when he saw both of them too, and the next thing he did, the Bible said, how about this man? Amen. I'll tell you, that's right, praise God. You want to study something good, brother. You just look up them two words, this man. And you'll find in Romans chapter, Hebrews rather, chapter 8, verse number 3, oh, there's this man that continueth forever. I like Hebrews 10:12. He said, but every priest standeth and daily ministereth, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never take away sin. Oh, but it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, for sins forever, has sat down to right hand. Hey, thank God of God. Hey, listen, friend, I'm glad it's this man. Amen. Say, preacher, how do I change crowds? You come to know this man. Amen. You get to know him and he'll change your crowd. Now listen to me. I'm going to quote old Brother Rob Gibson. If you still is what you was, then you ain't. Amen. That's the Gibson version of it. I believe that'll work though, don't you? And In other words, thank God if God changes your crowd, and then before very long you find yourself and you're back in the same crowd, and you can't never get out of that crowd and can't never cease from sinning. Oh, my friend, I'll tell you, you might not have ever changed crowds to start with. You might have changed your clothes and changed your attitude. But if you ever meet this man, he'll change who you are. Amen. First thing we find, hey, listen, that helped him change crowds was the fear of God. Then I want you to notice the second thing that helped him change in this passage is what the Bible said in verse number 42, and that's to say, thank God that he had faith in God. Bible says in verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, amen. Hey, Tony, listen, I'll tell you one thing that, and I don't know how many times I've looked at it, Brother Kevin, and I'll tell you what, the Lord just let me in on this. Just the other day, I was telling Joshua about it just yesterday. One thing, Bill, the Lord let me in on is, do you know that on the cross that day, both thieves asked for salvation? And both of them did. Both of them asked to get born again. Both of them asked to be saved. Let me say it like that. Both of them asked to be saved. Both of them. Oh, both of them, the one on the right and the one on the left. How about that one on the right? He wasn't real sure if God was who he said he was. He said, if thou be the Son of God, he said, save thyself and us. There's a lot of things that's wrong with that verse, Brother Savage. And the first thing is, it's not an if. Amen. Praise God, I could run just a little higher on that. How there's no ifs, neighbor. Thank God. I'm glad he is and the Son of God. Amen. But then I'll tell you this. Hey, you'll not get in on a group plan. Hey, he said, save us. Hey, it's never anybody got saved. That's interesting, getting a whole crowd saved. That's a personal thing. Amen. And when I came down and got saved, I wasn't asking the Lord to save me and my friends. I wasn't asking him to save my family members. Oh, no, that's not how that works, Ricky. And when I got born again by the grace of God, that's only concerned with one person. Hey, thank God I came down that day. I saw him for who he was. I saw me for who I was. And the Lord showed me the great mediator. And then grab a hold of us both and reconcile us back together. I say, thank God. Amen. Amen. And the other thing that was wrong with that is he couldn't do both. Save thyself and us. It had to be one or the other. He could have saved himself and then went to be damned to hell. I sure am glad he endured what he endured. But boy, got faith in God. Y'all see that? He's standing up there, and I mean, just, man, I like, listen, this is why, brother, yeah. I'll tell you what makes me happy. This old fellow we know, he wasn't religious. He didn't go off and come off with no Pharisee's prayer. He didn't go, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His fellow wasn't much of a praying man, or if he was, he didn't do a very good job of it. It's about the sorriest prayer you ever could have heard. And listen, altogether it was sufficient. He just whispered out two words. I thank God. He said, remember me. Oh, listen, that's not the Romans 10:13, Brother Matt. And that's not all those eloquent prayers everybody prays. But I'll tell you what happened. He looks over on the cross and he saw the door of heaven open. And he knew he couldn't reach and get a hold of the handle. And so by faith he reached out and he said, would you remember me? Amen. And thank God, you know what he found out? He was asking somebody to remember him, and that had already promised 750 years earlier that he would not forget him. Amen. I can prove it. Isaiah 49. Somebody have to look there. Verse 15, I think. Maybe verse 16. It's somewhere right in them. Verse 14. Somewhere right in those three or four verses. You remember that? He said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? What'd it say? Yea, they may forget. That's what it says. He said, yet will I not forget thee. But now watch this. He said, behold, I have graven thee upon my palms. Now walls are continually about me. Quite literally, listen to me. Now watch this. He's on the cross. and the wounds in his hand. And the first believer that comes to believe it is the thief on the other side. And 750 years ago, he had already prophesied about him. And before he said, remember me. Praise God, y'all ain't getting this. But 750 years before the request was made, the answer was already given. Amen. He said, thank God. And before he ever asked, would you remember me? God had already said, I will not forget you. Amen. What about that? You sitting here thinking you're sitting where you're sitting by accident? No. No, before you ever came in this thing, before there's ever Amazing Grace, before there's ever a Harold Slavin, before there's ever a Jamestown, Tennessee, before there's ever a Plymouth Colony, before there was ever a little fella named Columbus taking setting sail, listen to me, friend, before there was an Apostle Paul, before there was a King James Bible, hey, listen, before the Lord ever died on the cross, before there was a prophet Isaiah, before that there was the three Hebrew children, before there was Daniel, before the very Garden of Eden, it was God. Amen. And in the mind of God, he had already foreordained and planned out so that you could be right where you're at, so you wouldn't have to be a part of the crowd going to hell. Amen. Say, preacher, you believe that? You better believe I believe it. You better believe it. He said, remember me. Well, I like this next part. He said, when? That cometh in thy kingdom, that's good. But you know what he said when he, I'll tell you what I think when he said when. That was the completion of the gospel. All of it. The Bible said, the gospel in a nutshell is 1 Corinthians 15 verses. I'm sorry, my mind, y'all just have to bear with me. But it's 1 Corinthians 15, maybe verses 4 and 5 or 3 and 4. When he said, I deliver unto you all that which I first received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried. And that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. And when he looked over and he said, when? You know what he's saying? I know you're fixing to die too, amen. He said, but whenever you check out of here and you check into your kingdom, he said, don't forget about me, amen. Oh, listen, what a Savior. I'll tell you this, friend, he changed crowds because of fear in God. He changed crowds, thank God, because of favor of God. But now I want you to watch, because of the faith in God. But then watch this, he got there because of faith and the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 43. He said unto him, verily I say unto thee. Now watch this, listen. I want to help you right here. I read this. I got out my concordance, Jimmy, and I looked up the phrase, verily I say unto you. I say unto thee. You know how many times that's in your Bible? 52 times. You know who says them every time? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once you watch this, I went, y'all go look, you prove what I'm saying is right. But every time he says, verily, I say unto thee, whatever comes after that is going to be something that's going to be hard for people to understand. Every time. Every time he says it, he's getting ready to drop a truth on them that's going to be a little difficult to understand. And here you see this old thief. He's dying on the cross. And the Lord says, verily I say unto thee. Now you know what makes me happy? It's 50. Praise God, I'm about to preach myself happy again. I like it when I get to preach myself happy. 52 times in the four Gospels. You know how many times it's in the Gospel of Luke? 8. This is the 8th one. That's a brand new beginning, amen. He's about to change crowds, amen, right before your very eyes. You're going to get your eyes on the Scripture whenever this man changes from the crowd that's dying and going to hell, and he gets to be a part of the church that's going to heaven, amen. He says, verily I say unto thee, I'll tell you what he done before he ever said nothing. Now what? Listen to me. Before the Lord, Kevin, ever said the first word, he removed every ounce of doubt about what he was going to say. Just want you to just, I'm telling you, some of y'all just looking at me and I'm on shouting grounds. It's a leaping up real big in my heart. Before he ever says anything to him, he says, I want you to be assured of what I'm about to say to you. I'm going to remove all doubt. But I say unto thee, and he says, today, thou shalt be with me. Listen, tomorrow's the devil's term. Today's the Lord's. If you want to get even more specific, now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. First thing he done is he removed all doubts. Second thing he did is he removed all distance. I don't know how close they was on that cross, but he'd been a part of a crowd that's pretty good ways away. But he said, today, you'll be with me. I've preached this before. It's worth preaching the first time. It's still worth preaching today. Only one paradise in your Bible, but it was in three locations. Ain't that right? Y'all listen to me. One paradise, three locations. First is the Garden of God, paradise. Garden of Eden. And man boogered that thing up. And God had to remove it. That's why you can't find it. God removed it. Said, where'd he put it? He put it down on the inside of the earth. Abraham's bosom. On the other side was hell. There's a great gap between the two. Are y'all listening? And all them Old Testament saints, they all went down to paradise. Every one of them. And this thief's about to go down to paradise where the Lord is. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, you'll find out that paradise is no longer down. Paradise gone up. Amen. Say, how do you know? Because of thank God. When the Apostle Paul got to talking about it, he said that he was caught up into paradise. Amen. How you say, when did that happen? Amen. It happened on that third day, friend, when the Lord went down. I took captivity captive. He emptied out all of paradise and he took it all up with him, including the thief. Amen. How the thief got to go to that paradise. How the thief got to go to that paradise. And thank God he got there by grace. Amen. Yeah. Removed all distance. Hey, listen. You know he's sitting there thinking, could I really walk with the Lord? You ever, those of you saved, you ever just sit back sometimes, you just get to thinking, I can't believe. As wicked as hell as I've been. I get to be with the Lord. Spotless, sinless, Lamb of God. Little old me, little old Kevin, an insignificant nobody. But boy, there was a day that the blood was shed, and on July 2nd, 1988, I changed crowds. Changed crowds, said, I don't want to be a part of that crowd no more. He'll say, you be with me in paradise. And I'll tell you what I think happened. I think probably I've shared this with you before. When he took his last breath, can you imagine the look on his face when he ended up in paradise? He showed up. He didn't have no good works. Hadn't won nobody to the Lord. Hadn't been baptized, Tony. Hadn't done none of that stuff. But he got to go in simply because he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. I don't know your need today, but I'm telling you, don't go with that crowd. Hell's crowded. The lake of fire is going to be crowded. But there's plenty of room in heaven. And these folks that I'm afraid, they're just waiting too long. They just keep putting it off, and they keep putting it off, and they keep putting it off. But But you can change crowds today. I've cleared my heart. Let's stand to our feet.